Right now it is time for us to continue with our series of interviews that we do with the Foundation for Community Health. Well, not really with them, but these interviews that the Foundation sets up with us are with 99.9% of the time organizations that the Foundation for Community Health helps and works with in and around our entire tri-state region. We're going to be joined this morning by Nancy Heaton. Nancy is the CEO at the Foundation for Community Health, and we were notified that that they have a new strategic plan at the Foundation for Community Health. We'll talk a little bit about that and also get some more background information for those of you who aren't familiar. Nancy, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning to you.
So the Foundation for Community Health, ever since we've had this series on, we've gotten several people that have either emailed us or texted us or even sent a message, really not understanding. They never understood what the foundation was all about. They knew that it was formed out of the sale of the Sharon Hospital. They knew that money was going back into the community, but they didn't realize the work that went behind that. So for people that are listening and don't really understand about the foundation right off the bat, let's talk about its health, its growth, since it's hard to believe it started in 2003.
That's true, and I've been here since 2004, so I've been here for the long haul. But the foundation was created when the hospital, you know, was converted to a for-profit at the time, and all the funds were pooled together and put into this new organization with basically the same mission that the original Sharon Hospital had, which was to improve the health and well-being of our community. And our community, you know, is the northwest corner of Connecticut, and our reflective towns in the New York State. So from Hoopake and Ancrum all the way down to Dover in New York State. So, and we specifically have been always focused from the beginning. We wanted to be strategic. We wanted to be good partners. We wanted to offer as much technical assistance as possible. But our first priorities that we identified through some needs assessments were really about access to health care, because we felt in this rural community there were opportunities that we could either bring or support services coming into the area that hadn't been here, or support transportation to resources in other communities. That would be a good place to start. And that was really and has been our focus with a more of a focus on mental health services and oral health services over the years, but really access to community services that would increase people's health has been our focus until just now.
and that's an important focus because, you know, whatever, our healthcare system is truly a great healthcare system, but it's the access to it, and this is why what you've been doing over since 2003 has been so important. The access to it is not always great, and that's what tarnishes our healthcare system. So
there's cost issues, there's language issues, yeah. There's cultural issues, there's transportation issues.
Yeah, lots of issues. It's amazing. It's amazing when you think about it. So now, what prompted the change? Is it just a natural evolution? And as you've been serving the area, you've been noticing certain things, and you've been observing things, and compiling that information.
Yeah, well, I think we're not completely giving up on access, obviously, but we really reviewed our work over the past. What did we prove to ourselves that we were good at? What were the needs of the community? Were there any evolutions in some of those needs? And, you know, could we actually go further upstream and may have an impact on the underlying conditions that are required for health and well-being? And, you know, simultaneously while we were having these discussions and beginning our process for thinking about the strategic plan, the Black Lives Matter and all of the disparities that were revealed by the COVID epidemic, or pandemic, or now endemic, really fed into our understanding of, you know, what might be some of the more further back causes, further upstream causes for some of the conditions. And so our focus now is really to think about, you know, what can we do to work with the community assets that we currently have or help create new community assets to really impact the conditions that are required for health and well-being. So that really opens up our focus to something much more broad, because there are things like housing and food access and other issues that, you know, we could impact, hopefully, that maybe would require people to have less access to, you know, it would help them maybe be healthier. And so the access issue, which is still an issue and will continue to be an issue, would be, the demand on access would be lessened.
Well, so it sounds like you just named some of the core priorities that you're going to be aiming for with this.
Yes. So, you know, in our reflective state, and we read a lot. It was actually a really great process. I think I might have talked about it the last time I was on. But we read, we together with the board, we read books, we had attended webinars, we put together lots of information, looked at emerging trends in philanthropy, and decided that, you know, if there were stronger, if the local nonprofit network, for example, was stronger and more resilient, that would contribute to the better health outcomes in our community. We looked at what our current community assets were and what's here and what more could we do to bring stronger community assets that would improve access, for example, community health centers or school-based health centers. Is there something we can do to increase that? And we've done a little bit of that, and we've done it successfully, so that's an area that we want to work on. And lastly, this is a new area for us, but we would like to see if we could assist and support improved local decision-making, really maybe helping the community at large understand the relationship between some of these, you know, seemingly non-health related, but actually contribute strongly to your health decisions that are going on in local communities today. So we're very excited about it.
Well, health, you know, I think people tend to think health isn't just going to your doctor or going to your hospital. I know when the pandemic started, I was 347 pounds, and I watched Bill Maher. Bill Maher all the time talked about, you know, what the beginning of a pandemic, but he said the main problem in this country is that people eat unhealthy. This is just one thing. Right. And I sat there and I said to my, and he said, you know, being overweight. And I sat there and so I said, you know what? It finally hit home to me, and now here I am 16 months later, I'm 102 pounds lighter, because it finally hit home to me that, you know what, I just shouldn't react to what goes wrong with me. I should probably be proactive after 67 years, proactive, and try to prevent some of these things from happening to me. I think you can get that message across locally better than anybody else.
Well, we hope to, and that'll be something that we work on in the upcoming year. We've already begun to put our new strategic plan into action. You can read about it in our report to the community, which is now available on our website, you know, fchealth.org. And you can see that we've also adopted the principles of trust-based philanthropy. And I can say, having worked here a really long time, that when I learned about these principles, I thought, oh, we do a lot of that. You know, I feel like we've been a very local provider. I feel like we've been a trusted partner with our grantees. But it was clear that we could do more. And so with that, we are committed to simplifying and streamlining our paperwork, which I think those grantees who have accessed, you know, not just the COVID rapid release funds, but the new grant opportunities that are available, can see that we've really tried. We're trying to increase our transparency and our communication so that people know what we're doing and what what we learn at the same time, so that we're sharing what we're learning with the community, and that's going to be increased over time. We're going to be soliciting more and more feedback from grantees and the community on our effectiveness and our strategies. Even before we did the strategic plan, 30 interviews with grantees were conducted in order to just see what their reaction would be, to see if there's something we could do better or finesse it in the end. And we will continue, as we always have, providing technical assistance, but now we even have a grant opportunity for that, for capacity building grants for organizations to just ask for what is it that you really need to kind of move forward, and not necessarily programmatic work.
We're speaking with Nancy Heaton, CEO at the Foundation for Community Health. It sounds like, you know, you're really on the vanguard. You started this at such an appropriate time, because if one thing that healthcare needs in this nation right now, and you say trust-based philanthropy, with what you're doing, making your, what you do more visible and bringing in the partners that you help, I think it restores, hopefully, or keeps locally in this area, a trust on what goes on in the healthcare industry, and how people can look and rely and get the services they need from it.
Exactly. That's the hope. So we want to be better partners, more equal partners, take in the, you know, critiques and advice that we get from our grantees and from the community, see how we can become more effective. So we're really focused on strengthening our local nonprofit community. We believe that if they're more effective and more resilient, that the next time a big thing happens, well, as it continues with COVID, they're going to be in a better place and better able to respond. We believe that if people have a greater understanding of what contributes to health, that they will be able to make better decisions about that from a personal, but more importantly, on a societal level. And we believe in networks. I mean, we have funded networks from our the first time, the first days, and we will continue to try and bring people together to make collective impact. We do believe that that is a way, the best way for things to move forward in community.
Well, when people want to go to, when we're finished with this interview, we'll post it on our on-demand page. At that on-demand page, we're going to have your priorities and the whole list of exactly what this direction now for Foundation for Community Health means, and people can actually see it. But they can also get it right from the horse's mouth, which is fchealth.org, fchealth.org. Nancy, again, thanks for joining us, and I just thanks for all the work that you put in with your partners to make this a healthier, better place to live.
Well, thank you for helping us get the word out, because you're part of our strategy there to make sure that we're more transparent and more available to the community to learn more about us.
All right, Nancy, have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Foundation for Community Health. Once again, for more information, their website is fchealth.org. And if you go to our on-demand page, robinhoodradio.com, on demand, and click on the interview section, or you'll actually see the Foundation for Community Health. You can go to this interview and you'll see the list of priorities and what exactly direction the Foundation for Community Health is headed in.